sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm John.
Oh, John, that you were indie for a second. It's going to be a one-on-one interview.
I don't think barks at all once, well, maybe a couple times.
He does a couple of bark. Well, he does a couple of like sad winces, weeping.
Weeping dog, yep.
Yeah.
Spoiler. No, I was kidding.
Right. So who's your favorite dog?
Otis Redding.
Mine is, what is it? Barf from Spaceballs. It's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's the dog that Fry leaves behind when he gets
Stays there. Too serious.
It's the saddest episode.
Ever. The history of whatever. And welcome to the show. This week we review Good Boy. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, if you want to hear, what did we just last review? Black Phone 2 or any of our other podcast episodes, you can find all of them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. This one, I think, it's going to be kind of personal because we're animal-loving people, and you are a father of a dog. So... I'm very curious about what you thought of this movie. So, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Good Boy, coming in at number 3. Oscar nomination, doggone it.
Okay.
Coming in at number 2 for Good Boy, horrific tale of... No treats. Because I'm assuming that only dogs are going to listen to this one episode. Coming in at number 1 for Good Boy. Not quite Courage live action.
Oh, I've heard that comparison. Yeah. It's like a episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of, except like I think everything is actually happening in this one.
I want to say this film got on our radar. Or you sent me the trailer, right? If I recall. And you were like, dude, we got to see this. And I was like, you said something to the effect of like, I don't think you want to watch this because I'm very like sensitive to like animal cruelty. So a horror movie about a dog's perspective about being in a haunted home or some shit. It was like not going to be something I wanted.
It plays real into like the dog doesn't know what's going on.
Right. I Google, you know, does the dog die? I believe like that became like a trending search, you know, that everybody just wanted to know whether the dog died, because that's the sense you get from a very well cut trailer and kind of gives you a lot of like what the meaning of the movie is. So I would definitely give it props for that. Like I said, you're a dog owner. So what was your thoughts or curiosity about the movie?
I was wondering how they were going to play out the whole no dialogue thing, but I guess there is a good amount of dialogue. It's very... Peanuts. You never really see anybody's face or head.
Yeah. Everything's like obscured. Yeah. Like a lot of the people are obscured, except if they're like on TV or something, right?
Yeah, correct. You know, I really think I like the movie because of the dog.
Okay.
Otherwise, the movie was just kind of okay, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
the movie's just okay. Okay.
Yeah, because it was like pretty inventive and cool, and then I just didn't like the last act.
So I think this movie is 1 hour and 12 minutes, and I think that's a perfect length for this sort of experimentation or this sort of type of movie.
Well, like, shit, that's like almost 4 days in dog time. So
yeah, because I mean, I think I keep
it's a long movie technically.
Yeah, because I think, like, let's do the math in dog years. I think it took them 3 years on and off to make the movie.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I think that's the number they're throwing the director. Because the director is also the sort of obscure dog owner. And when he wasn't shooting, it was his, I believe, girlfriend or wife or something like that. So it's very, like, small team and yet still very clever in its ambition. Overall, I think I like the movie.
Well, the dog owner was played by Shane Jensen, and the director was Ben Leonberg.
Huh?
Right, for Good Boy? Because I did check that, too, because that's what I thought I had read or heard, but I think the guy just directed it. The owner of the dog. He is the owner of the dog, but the main guy is played by Shane Jensen.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar.
We did get Larry Fessenden in this, which is kind of fun, because he's, like, in everything all the time. And
yeah. It looks like the director was in this, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think he's in the cast at all. I did check. Ben Leonberg, who did write it with Alex Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought I liked the movie. I liked the idea of the dog being haunted. Again, what a really, really good boy, because Indy was just, I don't know, very professional.
Yeah, I think the smartest thing they did was pick a tracked dog. Is that fair to say?
Like, model dog, yeah.
Yeah, a dog that...
Can you imagine this movie following around a pug just like...
It would have been a whole different movie, right? Yeah, I think it kind of like, there's some, I have gripes with it, but I think overall I enjoyed it. I think that,
yeah,
you know, I thought it was pretty inventive with the filmmaking, and I think like it's a unique concept, and I think that there's a pretty like easy, straightforward kind of narrative you can follow that doesn't really take a lot the explanation, you know, because it's sort of immediately set up in the first scene where they're like the dog, we get a, you know, we fade in with like a dog close up or whatever, and he's already seeing stuff and there's like an uncomfortableness, but that kind of sets what the movie is throughout. So
yeah,
it's just interesting that like that the almost immediately we're kind of there's like no, I would say that the one thing it is missing is like there's like no suspense because we kind of already know what's going on. It's pretty straightforward in that sense, right? Like there's no like generally in movies we kind of like build up to, oh, the chair moved a little bit, but oh, and the guy, say a character looks back and, you know, there's a little bit of like build up to
maybe like one big question and that's you deciding what the bad thing is,
right? Yeah.
But which is like something you're already deciding, like you said, 10 minutes in, you're like, okay,
yeah,
that's what it is. Cool.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like they do play with the idea that it could be metaphorical about what's going on, or it could,
is it a poop thing?
Is it like, or is it like really like a thing? And I think they do a fairly decent job of laying out whether it's just like a metaphorical thing or if it's just like an actual kind of haunting thing, you know. So it kind of begs the question because we definitely get like, and I don't know if this thought crossed your mind, but the first thought I had was like, so if animals can see these things, how come like they don't react to it? If that is that sort of like they don't bark, they don't. Because generally we get that right, like from other movies or like in general that's devices used. Like if a dog is barking or is manic or whatever, you know what I mean? Like if it, that means that there's something present. It's just curious that they kind of did the opposite of that.
Well, because I think the name of the movie is called Good Boy. So this is a good boy. It's not going to bark at things.
Okay.
No, but maybe that's why it is. Other than like, you know, the director writer wanted to be like, my dog's a good boy. Maybe that's the idea. The dog doesn't really bark at anybody or anything like that. So it wouldn't know the difference. Like we would know, this thing that we're seeing is like a mud man. I don't know. Anyway, like to us, we're like, oh no, that's different and scary. But I don't think a dog would understand the difference. It'd be like a lion or whatever. Like, okay, it's something not human.
Right. And there is a bit of like, I don't want to say like mystery, but like, from the dog's perspective, he's kind of piecing this together about what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Before he kind of like, I don't know if he's a spoiler, but
before that scene where he goes into the basement and he has like a bunch of red yarn and he's like got a map of like where somebody died and he's like stringing the yarn down to like, this is where he moved from and stuff like that.
Yeah. Not like that.
Where he's Googling past deaths on the computer.
It's funny because this movie can be interpreted of like as a mystery, solving a mystery, but the dog having none of the skills of doing that.
None of
the skills of knowing what's going on.
Just to be clear, the dog doesn't do any of that. The dog just acts like a dog.
But yeah, like he is trying to figure out. In a way, I mean, it's kind of projected. In a way, he's just like the dog is reacting to what's going on what's going on with the owner and the surroundings and stuff, which I thought was interesting.
Very early on, we realized that the owner's dying.
Yeah. Or
at the very least, very sick.
Right.
I gathered pretty quickly. I'm like, it's got to be like progressed cancer. Mm-hmm. So he's just trying to take care of his owner, but the owner is acting kind of shitty because the owner is super, super ill.
Mm-hmm.
But then this dog's super smart, right? Like he gets chained up in a doghouse at one point and it's raining, and the way he escapes because something's kind of attacking him, he runs the opposite direction to pull the house with him and break the house. I was like, damn, this dog's super smart.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he was being pulled in by whatever the thing is, right? And then he just...
And then ran straight through it to...
Well, he jumped... Didn't he jump from a window? That's fucking ludicrous for really being critical. Well, like,
what did you want him to do?
Yeah, I mean, that was about as subtle of non-believability as it goes in this movie, as opposed to like the dog jumping out of the fucking window.
See, no, you got it all wrong. That's because we're so used to like movie jumps out of a window. Uh-huh. The proper way to jump out of a window is to fall out like a sack of potatoes and then jump up like you've got a brand new life. You could clearly see that it was just like some sort of sack with fur on it that they threw out the window.
I'm just glad this...
And then from like a bush, the dog jumps out. I was like, I thought that was really funny, to be honest.
I'm just glad that
it was not believable.
The director had never seen Milo and Otis because famously they like killed so many pets during the making of that movie that's because of that movie. They had to instill like laws about that, like film, you know what I mean? Like actual laws to enforce.
For Milo and Otis.
I don't know, but they like to make the cats, they like threw cats off the mountains and they like broke their paws so they could limp. Jeez. And they had like, it's a fucking really gross, disturbing story that I unfortunately know about. But anyways, this is not that movie. So I think it was really cool how a lot of the times, a lot of the shots are from like the dogs pretty much like in every shot of this movie. And other than that, we kind of get like his POV. So we're very like low to the ground, you know, from his perspective, which I thought was a good choice. Very simple, like lighting setups and like camera movements, and the camera was sort of motivated in moving in places when it was necessary or made sense. When say for instance, like when there's like the dog gets pulled under the bed without, you know, that was a really cool shot because it kind of insinuates one thing, but it's actually another, right? So kind of they do it. Right. In other words, they do a really good job like putting you from the dog's perspective throughout the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It was good. It was. I can't imagine. How do you think they shot all that? I mean the. Little sticks. Maybe they had that little what's that little sort of beanbag pouch thingy that camera carries around, you know what I'm talking about? The thing you can put the camera on and you kind of level it out.
Okay, yeah, sandbag.
Or they just sit on it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a sandbag. I mean, it might have sand in it, but it's not like a sandbag. It's like a duffel bag almost, but just like miniature.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know the name.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can definitely see that he's been very inventive with the moves, the camera movements and everything. And I would
say he's got his own ghost to kind of talk to. There was a dog that lived there before.
Right. Yeah, there was. I wasn't ready for that. You know, yeah.
No, where the dog is finding like past clues, like the previous dog's like handkerchief.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird.
I was like, oh, whoa. Yeah, it's like strange.
Because he's like dreaming of this stuff, right? Because there's like anytime we cut to like the other dog and we're from that perspective, we're like he's like awakens or like barely waking up. So he's like.
Yeah. And he sees.
Being haunted by these visions of the past.
Yeah.
Which is odd. Why? Like, how does that work? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I guess we could super nitpick it. Yeah. If we wanted to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the dog is getting premonitions from the past that nobody knows about, like what the dad was going through.
Because he's like
who was also sick, I think, of the same thing as what I'm gathering.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what the, like, is he sick, but is it because, is it like a terminal medical thing, or is it just like because of whatever sickness?
Supernatural thing, but it seems pretty convenient. I mean, this guy who's there sick now grew up there, but didn't get sick until he was living somewhere else.
Right. Basically, so I think grandfather,
it's like the curse of like, probably not a specific demon, but I guess you have like neighbors and stuff saying that they saw stuff too, huh?
For the most part, like
that one neighbor.
Yeah.
So I guess there is something there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think they kind of leave it open ended. I mean, maybe it's just from the dog's perspective that he's because, you know, their senses are so much more heightened than ours. They're able to like
see mud people
or manifest things more. Sensitively than we can. I don't know.
It's the Clayface prequel.
No, hell no. Clayface is going to be a million times better than this. Without question.
Is Clayface going to have dogs? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kidding.
I kind of thought when I saw the trailer, I thought this would be a little more straightforward. Like the house would be haunted. Right. But it ends up being, I think, a little like he's
generational curse.
Yeah. It kind of becomes a little bit.
And the dog simpler. Gets it too because the other dog got it. I mean, the dogs aren't related. So I don't know.
But it alludes to the fact that like dogs can see these things. Right. That's kind of established because there is a second dog or whatever. And it's not until like, well, at some point this dog like gets like, because I guess they dress the other dog in a bandana and he like sniffs it out or like gets in contact with it. Indy, the main dog here, like, and then he has like this premonition about how he died. So, I don't know. See,
which I kind of don't remember.
Everybody Googled like this dog died. Nobody Googled if there was a second dog that died. And there you go.
Which you can gather that the second dog, is it a spoiler to say how it died? I'm not 100% unsure how it died. I feel like it just starved to death is what I gathered.
It seemed like it was murdered. That's the sense I got.
Okay. I got more like whatever. It just got stuck in the basement cellar thing because it was right at the front foot of the door. So I'm wondering if it just starved to death.
Well, I don't know because doesn't he, I want to say... He found the bandana somewhere in the house, and then later we see the corpse or whatever, the skeletal remains.
The remains, please. You can say corpse or
cannibal tatter, corpse,
ripped to shreds, legs when it's humans, but when it's dogs, just remains.
How insensitive of me. Excuse me. like the remains of the dog, it has the bandana on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was confused by that too. Yeah.
So it's like, so there's definitely like some, like, well, he could have had multiple bananas. Yeah, he could have multiple bananas. But I feel like, though, when Indy, like, the scene we're talking about, like, sniffs it out, like, that scene is, he's witnessing how the dog dies, right? It's kind of like a premonitional thing, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm describing that correctly. Like when somebody has premonition, touches something and then they're able to envision somebody else's or their own death, right? It's kind of like the idea concept.
And it's also, you gather that it's an American dog only because all these things happen and this dog decides to just try to take care of it itself without asking for help from like, I don't know, a dog seer or like.
Yeah. And it just kept barking at black people and Mexicans and. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. No, this dog was not racist because this mud guy, we would have been barking at this mud guy.
Well, he's definitely scared of the mud guy.
Yeah, definitely scared of the mud guy. He's just like, what the hell?
Hell, you're muddy. Get away from me.
Which, to be fair, it'd probably be like a grayish, bluish. I forget what colors dogs can actually see, but it'd be like, what is this coming at me? Maybe that's what it is the whole time. It's like, there's something moving. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's in my face.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think like I kind of got uncomfortable when they were like, they kept saying like, there's fox traps out in these woods. You're getting pretty close to those fox traps. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, if they fucking put that goddamn dog in a fox trap, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to need to take a break and shit if I have to.
Which they did, but it wasn't as dramatic as you thought.
It wasn't good. Yeah, it's not the sort of trap you think of, right? I'm thinking of like those bear claw fucking devices that trap people's legs and shit was what I imagined. And I was like, And I thought that, and I have this fear, like, how are they even going to fucking put that off? And is this morally right to put this dog through all of this traumas? You know, I don't know. But it ends up being okay. It's fine. It ends up being kind of like something manageable. It wasn't anything too graphic, thankfully. But
I also thought maybe like the owner was going to get his like foot chopped off or something.
Which would have been fine. That would have made sense too, you know.
Because what makes less sense to me is he gets so ill at one point that they allude to like maybe he got possessed, but that didn't actually happen. And he's just walking around barefoot outside while it's like pouring rain.
See, that's where I kind of like, here's a spicy question. I don't know if this is going to like invoke a deeper conversation or not, but at what point is this animal abuse?
Oh yeah.
At what point is this, because he like spit up blood on him. The dog was dirty. I don't know if the dog got dirty by itself. Right. He left him in pouring rain for long periods of time. There's like several instances that, you know, kind of seem exploitive. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think the dog said it wanted to try to break into Hollywood, but didn't have some sort of in, and the dog's dad was like, let's just shoot a movie, fuck it. What do you want? And I think Indy wrote this script and said, but put your name on it, because I just want to be an actor. I don't want people to come for me and be like, hey, we saw that movie that you wrote, it's really good, can you write this? He's like, I'm not a writer, I'm an actor.
So then
that's what happened, I think. Yeah,
the fedora wouldn't fit his head is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I guess it's like the director's personal dog, and he did take 3 years to shoot it, like you said. So I don't think it was like continuous.
Mm-hmm.
The dog didn't seem like it was wasn't stressed or anything like that. So I think it was fine. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Like if the dog doesn't want to be there, then I'd be like, don't. I think that's one of the things, like if an animal doesn't want to be there while we're trying to shoot something, they're just like, oh, we need to get a different dog. We can't do this to the dog.
Right. It's hard to see and imagine, right? But
yeah,
it's just that under the circumstances of like this idea, I don't think I would have the courage to kind of put any animal through any of this. I think that's my perspective. But I mean, I get what you mean. Like there's no real sense of, like you said, like the dog's uneasiness throughout the movie.
And the dog definitely didn't do stunts, right? Like
it didn't. No, it was the director. He dressed up like the dog and jumped out the window.
God, I like replayed that. I was like, man, look at this, because it literally looks like moment. A sack of like fur just falls out the window, like comedically, like.
Yeah.
And then you see the dog jump out from behind a bush and run away. I'm like, okay. That was fucking great. That was amazing. Must be the stunt team from Spider-Man.
What about those Air Bud movies?
Oh, yeah. That dog eventually got cancer and lost a leg, so it didn't continue to do movies.
Oh, that's good to know. I had no concept. I don't know. Do you want to... I don't know. You want to talk about the ending of this movie? Kind of go into spoilers?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go into spoilers.
All right. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, no, no. Stop. Stop. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. The guy's dying and then dies.
But then he's taken into, like, the weird basement... hole cave.
Yeah, so this is where it's like you as the viewer have to decide whether this is like
real or not,
an actual haunting, or if it's just death or something, and it's kind of just lingering until these people die of cancer is what I gathered.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
It just was kind of weird, because like that part of the story was like, for the first time, I kind of want to know. I kind of want to know what the hell this mud guy is, because this is like this premonition is a dude covered in mud.
Right.
Like he jumped in a mud pit and just came slopping out, just slopped all over the place, just tracking mud.
Yeah. Because I mean, literally in the first opening moments of this movie, we see him like, we see something there, right? But then he's like, his sister, right, calls him, and then there's like blood on the phone, and it's kind of like, oh, he's sick. You know, it could also be like this thing is following him. And that's where it kind of gets into that thing. Like maybe death, the way they're representing death is like close to him because he's close to dying. And the dog is only, because of its senses, I imagine, is like is able to see it and is picturing that he's like, from another perspective, is that he's being haunted without knowing fully whether or not he's haunted, generationally haunted, right? Because this seems like even the grandfather in all these VHS tapes that they're showing throughout the movie is having the same symptoms. Or is it just like his illness and death being portrayed through the eyes of a dog? And what that may feel or seem like when, you know, people are passing and they're have their pets there with them and stuff like that. So,
because the dog attempts to, the thing is, like, there's nothing the dog can do. So you really just, this is where like the third act was kind of weird for me. The dog is running to attempt to help or retrieve its owner, but there's nothing the dog can do. The dog is just running to where the action is going to take place in the next scene. Does that make sense? Like, it's like just voyeuristically looking through the perspective of the dog, and there's no fighting it. There's no, like, I don't know.
Well, emotionally, that's relatable, right? Because I mean, if we have loved ones dying, we would do anything we can to help them. I think that's the sense I got from it, right? That the dog.
But it's like, would, as a human being, would you attempt to attack this mutt thing to get it away from your loved one?
Without knowing the context of it, sure. Why not?
Yeah. So I think the dog never does that. Indy never does that. Indy just kind of runs to, hey, now the action's taking place here, is what it felt like at the end. The dog, Indy being haunted the entire movie, I thought was really good. I just didn't like the last act.
Okay. Yeah. I think that, I was fine with that last act. I think it kind of, what they were intending to get out of the moments of it worked, right? Because we have that great shot where like the guy dies and he's seeing himself outside of his body, and then the mud person takes him down into whatever hole, and Indy can still sense him or see him and is trying to help him, stay close to him, protect him. I don't know. He's just trying to do anything he can in that moment, which is not much because the dog, like you said, he can't really do anything, you know.
He's just being an obedient dog too, I think, like a good dog actor, not growling, not barking, not attacking.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I think the only thing that kind of made me a little sad, like invoked some sort of emotion, but not for very much, was when the guy said, hey, you're a good dog, but you can't come with me where I'm going. Stay here. Mm-hmm. You can't save me. And then it just felt bad because I thought the dog was going to get stuck there. But luckily, the guy's sister shows up.
Yeah.
Also, the whole, like, I know the joke was like, hey, he was told don't use the generator outside while it's raining, but he still does it. It was just pissing me off.
I know. Yeah. Me too.
I was like, those puppets none are so expensive these, and you're just fucking it up.
None of this makes any fucking sense, man.
Yeah, you're just ruining the puppet.
Yeah.
Cover it in a fucking plastic bag, you idiot.
Like, yeah. No, exactly. That was the real stress of this movie, just watching this guy make bad decisions about his generator. Yeah. I think that was a like you said, I think that scene worked for me emotionally, you know, like him saying what he said and stuff. So, I don't know. I was fine with the last act, and I like the resolution. It kind of there's a sense of closure, right? There's a sense of closure that that you know the dog has with its owner, because there's a bond between owners and pets, right? So them explicitly show that and have the finale set around that was the right choice, and I think it does work.
So what do you think the sequel is going to be?
Well, the director said in an interview he has a cat. So,
what if it was like another dog, or maybe the cat, right, is being haunted in a different house?
Yeah.
And then it's like the mud guy is about to attack the dog or the cat.
Right.
And then you see the door swing open and Indy flops down and like goes ruff, ruff, and is basically saying, come with me, run away this way.
Right. But no, but like,
that's the movie I want.
So it opens is what I got for Good Boy 2. The dog is on a bed and it closes his eyes and it awakens. And then suddenly he's able to talk like John Travolta. And and then,
hey, what's going on down here? Hey.
or it's just basically a, this is a prequel to Look Who's Talking 3.
Nice. Yeah.
Or whatever the
or, I mean, honestly, I could see a world where, yeah, you're right, Indy falls asleep and then has dreams of his previous owner going like, Indy, I need you to help your my sister.
Need you to get the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indy, I need you to do, you need to be a good boy one more time. My laptop has a bunch of illegally downloaded movies. I need you to delete them.
Please. Do whatever you can.
There's a box of magazines. Don't worry about what they are underneath the bed. I need you to get rid of them. Bury them.
These are my final wishes. Please destroy my...
In my closet, there's a lot of massive looking bones. Bones. Colorful bones. Let's call them bones. Get rid of them.
It's just illicit demands. Like,
yeah, please. Yeah. I think I left the oven on. I know you can't reach.
And Andy's a good boy. He's not going to kink shame his owner, his previous owner. So he's just going to do what
he's like, I got you, fam. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's literally a sequel.
I think Good Boy 2 is going to be good.
Good Boy 2 is going to be real good. They should just hire us to write it at this point. Yeah. You're spinning gold here. All right. Do you have any other thoughts for Rate the Movie?
No, it was a very simple movie, right? Like, it was inventive. I enjoyed it until, like I said, the last act, but just very kind of quick.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Good Boy 5.5 sexy spooky bones for Good Boy Indy.
I'm going to go a lot higher than that. I really enjoyed this one. I think people, I don't know how much I got out of this movie because, you know, but I can appreciate it on its merits and what it set out to accomplish. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Like, I think it's got rewatchability, but it's not my top 10 at all.
No. Yeah. Or top 5 or whatever. Yeah, I agree.
Or top 5, yeah.
It's definitely something that I think is going to spark a lot of curiosity because of just the premise itself. People love their animals and pets and stuff. And I think that some people are going to get a lot of things out of this movie and a lot of people are just going to be indifferent to it. I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those movies. Most people,
he goes into the army and then the movie's called Dog Soldiers. Just kidding. You guys have seen a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, if you've never seen that, please watch that. Yeah. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
thanks, Indy. He said stay spooky.
John Travolta?